If you'd like to read with me, I'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And the verses that are here are verses 8 and 9, but I'm going to pick up with the last part of verse 7. That it's the riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And it's grace, are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And remember that this gift of God is through Christ Jesus, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Good morning. So good to see everyone that's here this morning for our worship service. Let me ease your mind if the announcement might have confused you a little bit. No, I'm not going to be preaching for the next several months. Dennis is filling in this morning at Edgewood. I understand they have, I believe, hired someone, but he's not there yet, and they were asking some folks from around the area to come and speak for them. So Dennis asked me a couple of weeks ago if I could fill in for him this morning. Their evening service is this afternoon, so he will be back tonight. So you'll only have to put up with me once today, other than those that were in the Bible class. But it's good to see everyone that's here this morning. I don't know if we have any guests, but if we do, we're very pleased that you are with us as well. But we're pleased that everyone is here this morning. We've got some folks that have been out sick that are starting to come back, and I know I was beginning to think Joe just felt a lot better yesterday. I talked to him Friday, and I could barely hear him on the phone. He sounded so bad, and he had been that way for weeks. And I offered yesterday to lead singing as well, and he said, "No, I think I can handle it." He did an excellent job, so I appreciate very much Joe taking my place this morning as I take Dennis's place. I didn't put that on that slide. That was already on that picture. But I know John knows what that is. There's some other folks in here that mess with cars and everything know what it is as well. That is an oil filler cap on the top of a valve cover. And what you're looking at in that picture is called pudding. And it's not good. You ever see that? When you take the cap off your oil filler on your car, you're in trouble. You're at least, if you've got an engine that's got a water pump that's inside and run off the timing chain, that water pump has at least let go and dumped water from your radiator or coolant from your radiator into the crankcase. Worse, it may have blown a head gasket. If your car's got any age on it, unless you can fix it yourself, you're probably carrying it to the junkyard because that's a very expensive proposition. Now, you can see that pudding on cars that run back and forth on short runs. I had a 67 Fairlane when I was in high school, and most of the time it either ran back and forth to Malden High School, a mile and three-tenths from the house, or occasionally it would run on over to work, which added another 4 miles to it. But it wasn't running very much, and you see a little bit around the oil filler cap. I understand the further you go up north in the cold right now, they can have cars that will look not quite as bad as that one, but fairly close in the wintertime because they, 5 to 15 minute drives, it doesn't warm the engine up enough to evaporate that water. So it begins to create that, but not down into the filler cap as you see that, down into the under the valve covers, you see all that gook down in there. It just doesn't mix. Now, motor oil it's not all oil. Coolant is not all water. It's more than 50% water, but it's not all water. But you can see that they still don't mix. If you look around the outside of that, right through there, you'll see that water sitting around there. So there's a lot of water that has separated out and is not mixed up in there. These two products are not going to work together to keep your engine running. You're going to be in major trouble if you have that. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, you see an attempt basically on the screen there to try to blend oil and water together. And I don't care if you put it in a blender, in a mixer, if you put it in a glass and shake it up, whatever you try to do, that oil is not going to separate and blend into that water. It's going to remain in that status like the glass that you saw in the beginning of the picture where the oil is sitting on top because it's lighter than the water, or it will be in globules as you try to blend it together. And what's that got to do with Ephesians chapter 2? Well, there's folks out there, they may not use the language that it's oil and water, but the event that you see on the screen, a young lady being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, some people will try to convince you that that's water and that salvation is oil. And that has nothing to do with salvation. I've heard it, we mentioned it in class this morning, I've heard people use the phrase that baptism is an outward sign of an inward transaction or whatever that signifies that you are saved. And they'll use statements such as that to try to separate the two. And they will try to convince you that you are justified by faith only. So, are we justified? Now, what prompted me to get into this and bring up this lesson? The song that Brother Joe led right before the lesson this morning. I've told some of you that have said to me, man, I wish I could learn some of these new songs. I wish I could practice at home some of these new songs that we're practicing. Two words. Actually, one word, I think, now in common use, but YouTube. There is several folks that are members of the church that have either gotten together with groups, or there's a couple people. Some of you have heard the little couple of deals I did where I recorded multiple tracks and recorded all parts of a song, of three or four songs. And there's some folks on YouTube that have done that, some into the hundreds that have recorded a cappella songs. That you can listen to. A lot of them are new songs that you may not know. Some of them are old songs that I don't know, that I sit around and I try to learn them by using them. A lot of them are using the same slides that we use for the songs that we're projecting up on the screen. And I saw two different versions of that song that Brother Joe read, or sung, before our lesson this morning, Victory in Jesus. And that song was written in 1939 by Ian Bartlett. I don't know what belief that he followed. I know that he was what the world would consider a Christian, would call a Christian, but I don't know what church he was a member of. But he was very close. In fact, he was the mentor of Brother Albert E. Brunley, who was a member of the church, who wrote I'll Fly Away and several other songs that we've sung over the years. And Albert E. Brunley went to the singing school with him. They taught together a lot of times teaching these things. And in 1939, Bartlett had a major debilitating stroke and wasn't able to get up and move around, and wrote probably his most famous song, that is Victory in Jesus. And he died in 1941, and the song was assigned to Albert E. Brunley and Sons in ownership. As a result, Brother Brunley had his music publishing house still in operation today. And I found some versions of that song that have a kind of odd, to me, second verse. I don't know who changed that second verse the way we sing it today, but apparently it was a little bit more generic and a little bit more, the last part of the second verse was a little bit more generalized and not quite as specific about obeying His blessed commands as the version that we sing. And I don't know who adjusted that. I don't know if Brother Brunley added that, because I see it in a lot of versions. But I was kind of taken aback reading the comments on several of these that, oh, that's a wonderful song, except that unscriptural verse. And they began to quote verses like Brother Barney read for us this morning to try to prove that we are justified by faith only. One of them they'll use is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified in Christ, by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. They'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, one of the favorite passages that's used. Very wonderful verse of Scripture, but they will take this verse and say that it is faith alone that saves us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Or they will go in there and go to Titus chapter 3 and say, He saves us not by works, because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So it does sound, on the surface at least, that faith is what saves us, which it does. But in these verses opposing works, so to speak, this is the foundation that these people are constructing their hope of salvation on. But the question I have is, what about the Scriptures that talk about to work out our salvation? There are other things in the gospel, in the Bible, that also present things about our salvation, and the two sound to be diametrically opposed if we take them on face value. Philippians chapter 2, for example, in verse 12, Paul there said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." James, in chapter 2, has several verses that he hits on doing things to achieve our salvation and works that go into it. In fact, he makes a statement there in verse 17 of James chapter 2 that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I believe the King James Version adds "being alone" to that statement. Over in verse 20, James really steps on the toes of those that try to claim that all we have to do is have faith. He says, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person?" Ooh, there's some sore toes there. "That faith apart from works is useless." Verse 24, and again in verse 26, he says, after he's gone through a discussion, he says, "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." Verse 26 is very graphic in its detail and in its description. In there, James says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." When we have a body that the brain is dead, that the spirit has departed from the body, all it is a carcass. It's just a shadow of what it was. We may wish and hope that that loved one will come back, but they will not when it's departed. James compares that to faith without works. Just a carcass, not anything that is going to benefit us. So in order to understand the difference and what's being discussed when we're talking about faith and we're talking about works in these verses, we have to go in and examine the context of what is being discussed to understand those verses. First of all, the Scriptures there in talking about works that do not justify are talking about works of the law. Go back over in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 again. What do you see that I've highlighted up there on that screen? Three times. Oh, works is in there. Works is mentioned. But it mentions works of the law. What law? The law of Moses. So the context of this verse is that there were some Judaizing teachers that had come into these Gentile congregations and were trying to tell them, "Oh, well, you know, you're Gentiles and you can have God, but you've got to start doing this from the old law, and you've got to start being circumcised, and you have to start doing this and picking things out and trying to confuse them. Paul just basically told them, said, look, if you want to follow after the law, you can't pick and choose. You've got to take it all and do it all. And that the law could not justify. Notice again, in that context, if a person, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law of Moses, but through faith in Jesus Christ. To be justified by faith in Christ and not works of the law. The law was unable to provide justification for man. That's the last part of that verse. If the law was perfect, complete, and the law was able to save, there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come and die and go through that awful death that He did and to be resurrected. But He did because it was necessary, because the law could not save. That's what He's talking about when He's talking about not being justified by works. The other two verses are referring to works of merit that say we're not justified by works. Notice, He says there, by grace you're saved by faith and not of your own doing. In other words, you know, when we assemble around the Lord's table and, you know, we read, sometimes it's read from the King James Version over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says, we partake unworthily. Well, that actually means in an unworthy manner. You know, there have been people that have foregone partaking of the Lord's Supper because they didn't feel they were worthy to partake. I got news for you. I wasn't worthy when I walked through the door this morning. And I will not be worthy when I leave this morning. I will never be worthy of that salvation that I have obtained. It is through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God, not a result of my worthiness or Joe's worthiness, or John's worthiness, or anybody else in this room. None of us are worthy, but Jesus Christ gave Himself that we could have that free gift of salvation. In Titus, he's saying the same thing. He's saying that He saved us not because of what we did in righteousness, what we did, like the Pharisee that stood up there, Jesus telling the story of the Pharisee that stood up to pray. An old tax collector standing over there on the other side of the room with his head bowed low, and he's standing there before God, raises up his hands and says, God, I thank You that I'm not like other people, that I'm better than everybody else. I thank You that I do all the stuff that the law says I'm supposed to do. I tithe, I do all these things, I fast, and I'm really thankful that I'm not like that old nasty tax collector standing over there that cheats everybody. And what did that tax collector say? Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus asked the question, who went away justified? Here in Titus there, Paul's saying that it's not because of the righteousness that we achieve that salvation, but because of His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You know, that washing, that's another thing. I know that baptism is not a physical cleansing, that it's an act that we show the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we're raised, we're buried, and raised to walk in newness of life. But it's kind of hard to clean without some water. The third job interview I ever went on, I can tell you where it was. It was Wendy's in Malden before they opened. So that tells you that's a long time ago. There's a bunch of people in this room that were not born when that happened. And I didn't get the job. I was late for the interview. Why was I late? Well, my car wouldn't start. I had to get out and work on it. And I finally got it started. And when I got it started, I didn't have any water. All I had was an old dry rag. And I took that old dry rag and tried to get that stuff off my hands, and it didn't do a whole lot of good. And I went on to the interview, and the manager just kind of looked at me like, and you know, I go in with these dirty hands and everything. Trying to clean without water didn't do a whole lot of good. Of course, I know the lateness affected it too. But it's kind of hard to be cleaned without water. we do find the works of obedience are the things that are being talked about. Now, we can break that down into three categories to begin with. Dead works. Those things that James talks about, those things being dead. First of all, he says over there in James chapter 2 again, verse 17, so faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? The second type of works that we could consider would be demonic works. We look over in Luke chapter 4. We see the story of the one that was possessed with the demon that was in the temple. Jesus walked in, and the highlighted verse you see there, verse 34, the demon, not the man, but the demon that possessed him said, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demon knew who Jesus was. You know, I find that interesting because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, many of the Jews refused to accept Jesus Christ. But yet the demon knew who he was and assented to the fact that he was the Holy One of God. He had faith. He understood. Is that the kind of faith that you want to have? That you know that Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God? Demons do that. James said over there in verse 19, he's of chapter 2, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe, shudder, or tremble. What I think about when I think of that verse, the trembling, the shuddering, that fear, you know, when I was in the 8th grade, it was cold one morning. I used to walk to Malden Elementary School. It's now the Cultural Center. I'd catch a bus down to Hillcrest, then junior high school. And I didn't study last night. I had a big social studies test coming up, and I had studied nothing on that test. I didn't know anything that was going to be covered in that test. Oh boy, the bus was late. I thought I was going to get out of it. It was third period for social studies. We were supposed to stay until a certain time, then we could go home. And I was just getting ready to leave, and what do I see pulling up over across the hill but a replacement bus pulling in to pick us up. And when did I get there? Right at class change, going to third period. And I had that feeling, that fear, that in the pit of my stomach, that dread, knowing that I'm going to have to go in there and try to take this test and fake my way through it. Multiply that by hundreds, and you get the type of fear that's being talked about with these demons. They believe, they understand. Belief is not enough. And we see the works of obedience. James goes through, there's several places in this section over here in James chapter 2 that he talks about obedience, obedient works. Verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 20, faith apart from works is useless. Then he talks about Abraham being justified with his works when he offered his son Isaac. His faith was active, verse 22, along with his works. Faith was completed by his works. There's where he says in verse 24, you see how a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Then he talks about Rahab, the prostitute, in verse 25, who hid the spies and let them down. And this is the same Rahab whose name is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, that she was justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them another way. And then that old statement that we've already looked at in verse 26, the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7 made the statement at the end of his Sermon on the Mount Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but one who does the will of my Father in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer said, they are talking about Jesus, although he was a son, yet learned he obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, again, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I punch on that slide. There you go. You're going back to Acts chapter 2. But it's a very important point. It's a point that was made on the day of Pentecost when the church was established, when those people were cut to the heart from the statements that Peter had built a case that convicted them of their sin. They said, what do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I wasn't great in math. I did good, pretty good in basic math. Algebra 1, I had to take it 3 times to pass it, to get past it. But there's one thing I learned in basic math, and I don't care what they try to do to change the teaching methods and such as that today, there's one solution to that problem you see up there on the screen. 1 + 1 = 2. Peter made the statement in there. You know, I was good in English. My problem with English was I was lazy. I can sit down and write something. Most of the time I get a little bit verbose, but I can write it in proper English usually. But when it came to diagramming those sentences and all that, But I do remember what that is. That is a conjunction the majority of the time, and it puts two things together and brings them together. Repent and be baptized. Notice what Jesus said when he was establishing the Great Commission. Over in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he said, whoever believes and, there's that conjunction again, believes one and is baptized two, will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Oh, you're going too far there, because, it doesn't say he who believes not and is baptized not. So, you went too far. Who talks like that? You know, when Vernon made the announcements, he encouraged you to stay for the dinner today. And I hope you stay. But if I tell you, when we get down from here, now, go on back there, go in the room, get you a plate, fix you a plate, sit down, and you can eat with us. But if you choose to leave and don't go in the room and don't fix your plate and don't sit down, you won't get to eat with it. Who talks like that? Nobody. You expect Jesus to talk that way? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe has no reason to be baptized because he doesn't believe. He's not going to obey it. He's going to be condemned. Don't put yourself in that situation. If there's someone here today that believes and has not obeyed, you know, essentially that's a demonic faith, because the demons qualified for that. But they will not be saved. Likewise, we will not be saved if we don't obey. So we encourage you. Heaven is a wonderful place. We have riches untold. We may not be wealthy in this life, contrary to what some preachers may try to convince you, that you will be wealthy in this life beyond your dreams. But think of that mansion. We will be royalty. We are adopted into the royal family. Live like kings or princes and princesses because of the promise that is made to us. Don't wait. Don't put it off. If you are a Christian, you have put your Lord on in baptism, but you need to ask for forgiveness, whatever, or you just need the prayers of the church, whatever your needs may be, we ask you come while we stand, while we sing.